In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text for our resurrection sermon this morning is the gospel lesson for this Sunday that includes these words. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Thus far the word. In the risen Christ, dear festive guests, there is no happier day in all of time and in all of creation than the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord as we celebrate it today. Oh, there's been other good news. In the book of Job, we read that when God laid the foundations of the universe, that newly created choir of angels sang a glorious song to our God. That was good. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate at Christmas, they sang of that wonderful coming of the Son of God, yet we see him wrapped in humility. Still, that was good. But they don't match at all the event that you and I gather to celebrate this morning, the event that is not only the foundation stone of our own saving faith, but is the foundation of Christianity. It is the foundation of the Word of God that we preach as Christians on this earth. Those celebrations are a wonderful message that the angel gave. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Or as the hymn writer put it, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. On Easter morning, Jesus' work, God the Father declared complete by raising his Son from the dead. Jesus had taken his last steps on the road that he walked for our redemption from sin, guilt, and death. In his resurrection, Jesus, not only as true God, but also true man, received his Father's glory. Every person in the world can and should be happy today on account of Jesus' bodily resurrection from death and the grave, because it is for everyone. It is for you, and it is for me, and it is for the whole entire world. For every one of the billions of souls that have ever lived, that live now, or will live before Jesus comes again on the last day. How can this be true? We answer that question with our theme. Christ's resurrection is the world's absolution. We see, first of all, that this is certain and it is true. And secondly, that everyone who wants to be saved needs to believe this certainty and this truth. Jesus' resurrection from the dead that we celebrate this morning, we celebrate every Sunday when we get together, didn't happen as just the next thing. It didn't happen as just a matter of course. I think sometimes we might be tempted to get that idea when we say the creed. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, rose again from the dead. That's the next thing. But if we think in those linear terms like that, we're losing the real meaning and purpose of his resurrection. Jesus' resurrection from the dead was the purpose of his suffering and death. It was the goal, the outcome of his suffering and death. While our sins caused Jesus' suffering and death. It was by the Father's counsel and foreknowledge that He punished His Son, that He laid our sins on His Son so that that Son would suffer and die. It was the counsel and foreknowledge of God that handed Jesus over into the plans of unrighteous men. Everything that we've been talking about these last 6 weeks in the Passion, everything we talk about every week, is something that Jesus did for all people. The Father counted the sins of the world against Jesus' account. He made them as if they were Jesus' own sins. And then Jesus paid the temporal and eternal punishment for your sins and mine and the world's sins. A couple of weeks ago, we were at Navy Pier in Chicago, and I was standing out in the walkway there, just watching all these people going back and forth by me, and thinking, what a minute fraction of the population of the world whose sins Jesus bore on the cross. Jesus offered up His body and blood as the only sufficient sacrifice that qualified as the substitute for us with God the Father. Through Judas, through Caiaphas, through Pontius Pilate, God the Father condemned His only Son to death, and Jesus received the wages of sin that the world had coming because of Adam's rebellion against his Creator. Since this all-inclusive sin of billions of people was laid on Jesus and caused His death, then what does His resurrection mean as an all-inclusive blessing for those billions of people? They both were for and are for everyone. In his testimony on Pentecost, Peter declared of Jesus, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to hold him." When a prisoner or when you and I are caught doing something wrong and we get arrested or get a ticket and we pay the fine, then the judge can no longer hold us. It would be unjust for the judge to continue to hold us. It would have been unjust for death in the grave to hold Jesus because He paid the price. He kept the law perfectly. And then He offered His sacrifice all sufficiently for the whole world. And so the grave and death could not hold Him. So the Father had to let Him go, had to bring Him back to life, to give Him new life, because He had done everything necessary for the world's justification. When a judge sets you free after you have paid your fine, you are free indeed, because he counts your bill or your fine, your account, settled. God the Father acquitted Jesus. He raised Him from death to declare our accounts settled, and not just ours, but the accounts of everyone in the whole world. By the last stripe of the whip, by the last nail driven into Jesus' hands and feet, by that sword that pierced His side, and then when He gave up His life, wasn't taken from Him, when He gave it up, having fulfilled all of Scripture, He died trusting that it is finished. And He commended Himself into His Father's hands. in the certainty of his resurrection from the dead in just 3 days. St. Paul assures us in his letter to the Romans, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Christ's payment for sin is for all people. Therefore, Christ's new life in the resurrection is for all people. Christ's acquittal is your acquittal. Christ's justification is your justification. Christ's new life is your new life forever and ever. And it is the justification of every person, of every sinner who has lived, lives now, or will live before the end of the world. In Jesus Christ, God the Father has already forgiven you all of your sins. He has already removed all of your guilt. He has already suffered your temporal and eternal punishment as the wages of your sin. Christ is the essence of the gospel that is the power of holy baptism and Lord's Supper. He is the surety behind the general absolution of sins that you and I received this morning from the pastor. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the assurance of the forgiveness of sins that we give to each other when we apply the ministry of the keys privately. When one of us says to our spouse, or to our child, or to our neighbor, or to our parent, or whoever it might be, I have sinned against you. And the person says, I forgive you your sin. I forgive you all your sins that you have committed. Christ's resurrection is the world's absolution. And this brings us then to the necessity of faith and the blessing of faith. Christ's resurrection is the absolution of the entire world, of every person. Everyone who wants to be saved needs to believe this. When you give someone a gift, that person needs to have that gift in their hands in order to use it, in order to enjoy it. If they say to you in false pride, oh, I don't deserve that. Or if they say to you in pride, I don't need that. Or if they say, you know, I don't believe you. Your word can't be trusted, so I don't even think you're giving it to me. Then you lose the benefit. The person loses the benefit, the use of that gift. That does not mean, however, does it, that the gift has not been given, that the gift does not belong to the recipient. Martin Luther used the example of a king granting a castle to one of his subjects. He said if the subject doesn't accept it, that doesn't make the king a liar. It's not the king's fault if the person doesn't receive the gift of the castle. Luther said, quote, you have deceived yourself, and it is your fault. The king certainly gave it, unquote. It is like this for the gift of justification. The general absolution of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that pronounces the entire world not guilty of sin. God has forgiven the sins of all people. But it is true that all people are not saved. What must I do to be saved? the jailer ask? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This morning, dear friends, don't merely glance at the empty tomb as you walk by where the stone has been rolled away. Don't just give a brief listen to what the angels say and then walk on as if it didn't have any meaning for you. Take the angels' words to heart. Learn from the earlier Thomas and know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And trust that even though we don't see Him and can't see Him with our own eyes. We have seen the Lord, Jesus' disciples told Thomas. This morning, I'm telling you, I have seen the Lord. He lives and He reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit. His resurrection is your absolution from sin. He has paid every cost that you could ever hope to even try and fail to offer. It is faith alone that saves us, as it holds to the righteousness and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that we can or need to pay for our salvation, because God has marked our debt paid in full. Trust that absolution that the Father pronounces on the entire world 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. It is still in effect. God is faithful, and His gifts are irrevocable. The King has given you a glorious castle. It is yours. The King has called you and calls you into His glorious kingdom of grace and glory. He is inviting you to a place at the wedding supper of the Lamb. May you all receive in faith Christ's resurrection that is the world's absolution. And because it is the world's absolution, it is your absolution. Then you will see the glory of God. The Spirit will fill your hearts with the greatest joy and consolation Easter can bring. Then your death will not be death, but gateway into that heavenly castle to enjoy everlasting life and blessedness. Amen.